I'm going to come down closer. I like to move, and this is flat. I've had cataract surgery, and I'm seeing really well there, but not here. And I need these readers, so I'm having to do this today. I apologize. My new glasses are coming in. Guess when? Tomorrow. Yes. I asked them. I said, I've got something the 23rd. And they said, I'm sorry, we can't get them that fast. So I have to come back, I guess. All right. You heard the story. What if I tell you this is one of my favorite stories? You might have the same reaction that one of the senior highs I was teaching quite some years ago did when I told them, this is my favorite story, one of them. Do you do that in scripture? You know, one of my favorite stories. Because I said, this is one of my favorite stories right after we read it. And there was silence with the young people for a moment. And then one young man spoke up. He said, Pastor Jenny, you say that about everything. Everything's your favorite story. He said, but this is a story about somebody buying a piece of land. That's one of your favorite stories? Now, he was a very kind and polite young man, so he stopped short of saying, there's something wrong with you if that's one of your favorite stories. He did not say that. You may have thought that. That's okay. Because I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this story, and it might be one of your favorite stories as well. A lot of this happens, the opening up of God's word in this story happens when we hear what's going on with Jeremiah and God's people at this time, because God is working here. All right, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet during the 8th century, which unfortunately for him was during the time of exile beginning with the Babylonians, also called the Chaldeans in scripture. They were beginning to come on God's people. And at this moment, when this story is taking place, you may have noticed it said it was biblical words that Jeremiah was held in the court of the guard. He was in jail. The king of God's people, Zedekiah, put him in jail. He called it protective custody. But what it was, Jeremiah was giving God's people the word of the Lord. And Zedekiah did not want to hear that. He wanted people to tell him, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. But it wasn't. The Babylonian army was there. If you know about the exile, so many of the prophets are writing, God sent them to get the word about what's going on. You see, the community of God's people had forgotten what it meant to be God's people. Love the Lord your God with everything of you, heart, mind, soul, strength. And Jesus put them together, all these laws together, when he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. God's people slowly began to forget to do that. And so the community of faith began to fray at the edges. And in the 8th century, what nations were doing were looking at good, fertile pieces of land. They were looking at people who were on this land. They could come and be slaves in their country, and we can own this land. All that kind of thing. So at the time this is taking place, the Babylonians are laying siege to Jerusalem. It is one of the hardest times in the life of God's people, Judah. They're trying to starve out the people in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah has been telling the king and everyone else, it's going to happen. You're going to be carried away. They're going to have the land. And they didn't want to hear it. That's why Jeremiah is in protective custody. But if you noticed, while he's there, God brings him a word. Now, if you were a careful listener to this very unique story, you notice there's some repetition in it. And always when something is repeated, that's a good way for our Bible study to say, hey, I need to pay attention to this because this is said more than once. 6 times it mentions the word of the Lord, or the Lord's word, all of that six times in these few verses. I think we should pay attention to that, don't you? Because you see, when Jeremiah first heard about buying this piece of land, he thought it was God telling him, giving him this message. That's called discernment, you and I do. And I don't know if you are like me. I've never heard God's voice except one time. It's just, I know, you know how you know deep inside that you can't really explain? You know it's God telling you this. I'll tell you the one time I heard it. I was actually in Duke Divinity School in seminary. I was an older student. I was a wife, a mother. I was working at a church. I was doing seminary. And I loved to read, but there was more reading than I had ever imagined in my entire life in seminary. Be proud. You want a well-trained pastor, but it half kills you before you get to that point. But I remember one day I walked in our small apartment. There was nobody there but me. And I just fell down on my knees and I screamed out, "I can't do this." And I heard a voice, however you hear it. And the voice said, "I know you can't, but we can." It was God. There was no doubt about it. There were no trumpets and angels and stuff like that, but I knew it was God. And from that moment on, I knew I could get through what I thought I couldn't do, but with God, not showing him how I was going to do it without him. See? So Jeremiah's at that place. He's hearing God. And he says, "All right, Hanamel, my cousin's going to come." That seems odd. Do you know why it seemed odd? Do you know why Jeremiah wanted some proof maybe about this? Guess where that piece of land, Anatoth, is. Even to this day. But at that time, all the Babylonians had to do, where they were camped out and ready, sieging Jerusalem, all they had to do to get into Anatoth was this. And they were right there on that piece of land. They were right on the doorstep of this piece of land. And God wants me to buy that piece of land full of Babylonians that are going to overrun it, tear up all the crops, take all the animals and cart the people off. And I'm supposed to buy this? No wonder he thought, But then his cousin shows up and he asked the very thing that God told him. So if you notice, Jeremiah said, this must be the word of the Lord. And so Jeremiah was bold to do that. He did everything right. Did you notice the detail? The boring detail. All the witnesses rolled it up, gave one to this person. You know, he had way more witnesses than the Old Testament says you need when you carry out a legal transaction, which Old Testament says two, maybe three. He had a lot of witnesses. And they signed two copies of this and rolled it up and put it in an earthenware jar. That's the equivalent of putting something you want to keep in Tupperware. Okay. All right. It's going to last. So they put it in the earthenware jar and they put it up. Can you imagine what the people were saying? "Hey, I hear Jeremiah bought a piece of land right there where the Babylonians are. Can you believe it? If he wants to do that, I got some swamp land over here. Maybe he'll buy that too." That's what they were saying then. But then the word of the Lord came again. And now I'm going to put my glasses back on to read this. I want it to be right from the book. And here's what God said again. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land." Houses and fields and vineyards. That means somebody's coming back to build a house. Somebody's coming back to plant a vineyard, to grow the grapes and pick the grapes. Somebody's coming back. This exile, this takeover by the Babylonian army, this losing everything is not the end of the story. It's not the end. Now, do you know why this is my favorite story? God does an amazing thing to me, goes out of his way, steps out of, I wonder if that's out of his comfort zone. I don't think so. If he can appear in a burning bush to Moses, this wouldn't have been out of his comfort zone. But God was offering hope to the people who were taken over by the Babylonians, who did lose their land and all their animals, and who were carted into exile. Everyone except the poorest of the poor and the sickest of the sick were taken out over to Babylon. But imagine them sitting in Babylon after this, after this purchase. Now they're saying, hey, did you hear? Jeremiah bought a field right in the middle of where the Babylonians just came on, wreaked havoc and took everything. We're going back. We're going back home. I don't know when, but we're going back because God told him to do it. You see the hope? You see the hope? Some people would say God showed up and showed out in that transaction. When we look at the world today, it's hard, isn't it? I walked in with someone and we both were sharing how hard it is to watch much TV or much news and those things. It's hard. It's hard where we are. We know people who are needing help with food, with buying medicine, with... It's just hard. So, where is our hope? I don't know of any purchases of land that God's asked. Although, since God's done it once, I wouldn't put it past God to do it again. But you know what I was thinking? This is what the church does, right? We are the hope bringers. We are the ones who look for hope and say, hey, did you see that? Do you know what I saw about this very church? I saw on Facebook that you have a new ministry, visiting laypersons, right? Yeah? There's hope. Whatever is going on, because to me, loneliness and having no family here and all, and people don't really know where you are or how you're doing or anything, showing that kind of care to someone who's not a preacher. There's nothing wrong with a preacher, but you know, it's our job to do that. But it's your job too, and you have a ministry where you're doing that. That's hope. Because all the people you're seeing say, I matter. Somebody cares about me. And we need that in this world, don't we? You have a new service, an early morning service. That's hope. More casual. I don't think you would have turned away anyone who came in anything, but sometimes people aren't comfortable. But over there, a new service, that's hope. The people of the church are the ones who bring the hope because we've got the eyes. We know what it looks like because we know how we were before we knew Jesus, right? We know what redemption looks like. And what the Apostle Paul says, that we are changed from the inside out. And it's that inside that drives us to be the hope bringers. In little and small ways, being God's people is hope for the world. Because friends, let me tell you, I've read the end of the book. Spoiler alert, God wins. God wins. This is one story. And God goes out of God's way in something as unique as a real estate transaction to show that God's people matter. And they will make a difference for good in the world. And the suffering and anguish they're going through now is not the end. And also, that God is the one who's planned our future. That too is in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Good plans, not plans to harm you. I will give you a future with hope. Hope bringers, unite. Go forth with hope of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.